Good morning and welcome to Conservative Money Talk, a radio production of Financial Compass Investment Services. I'm your co-host, Troy Barilow, and I'm here with our host, Tim Rosen. He's a registered investment advisory representative. He's the owner and founder of Financial Compass Investment Services and has trained financial professionals nationwide. And he also asked me to mention that he does not suffer from insanity. He enjoys every single minute of it.
And I put up with you every Saturday. What a blessing.
And I don't let him see what I'm going to say before I say it as the intro on Saturday mornings for that reason.
But it keeps you guys tuning in, just like for those who used to watch or still do watch The Simpsons. They do a little different animated beginning at the beginning intro of every cartoon for The Simpsons. But we're not The Simpsons. This is Conservative Money Talk, where we seek to help and assist you towards financial peace of mind by sharing each week just little tidbits, little changes, little recommendations, revealing the truth to you about investing, about the markets, about savings, about 401ks, about money. We take an against position, and I like that. It may not be popular, though it's gaining popularity. But it's all for the purpose of saving you, our listener, and investors, from falling into the many countless investor traps. And you may have experienced some already, be it your 401k, or maybe you were sold something in the past, you don't understand it, and all of a sudden it's not turning out to be what you thought it was going to be. We help you avoid all that. Today is no different.
And as you say, we're sometimes counter-message from the pop culture of
yes.
the financial world. It's funny, though. I've seen more and more articles from they, the proverbial they, that
are
going
their head again.
Counter to exactly what they were saying just 5 years ago, like the death of buy and hold. And, of course, we were saying that years ago, but that's right. You can't just have the blind faith, buy it, hold it, and hope and pray that 10, 20 years later, something like Enron
right.
would be in much better shape. You
especially
might want to talk into the mic.
Yeah, especially with today's consumer mutual funds, you just can't do that. So our message week after week is applicable for men, women, children of all ages, as a matter of fact. Troy does have his number one listener. She's a 9-year-old girl, and she submitted this little drawing of him, but he kind of looks like Mr. Poopy, but anyways, that's his big fan.
If only they could see me stab you with this pen on the air. That would make it all worthwhile. No, really.
But let me speak to the ladies here for a moment. Ladies, do you ever get the impression that your money person, your broker, your representative maybe feels or believes that you just don't know what's going on, and it's better that way, that you don't know and you don't understand how the markets work, how your portfolio works, what's going on in the portfolio, and he or she is just happy to keep it that way. Ladies, you play a very important role, and the financial compass position, and the way it's always been, is I seek to educate and help all of my clients, especially the ladies, to understand. We just can't assume, okay, the man wears the pants. Okay, sir, this is what you want. Very good. Here's how we're going to do that. Oh, yes, ma'am. Just stay there and stay quiet. Why don't we help the mister here? Because he's the head of the household. You know, it needs to be equal. And we take our time in educating. And I take on the role of coaching to help every prospective client and existing client to understand what their money is doing for them or against them, how to make it more efficient, and whatever plans that we implement, that you thoroughly understand that to the point where you can tell your neighbor, you could tell your friend at work exactly what's going on with your money. So that's the approach that we take, and that's just by way of introduction. Today's topic, thank you for tuning in again.
That's not today's
topic.
It's
going to be a little different than what it's been. We have been talking with the against position. You called it something else, contra.
Counterintelligence. Counter something.
Iran-Contra. Today's topic is real estate. Is it an investment? Should I invest in real estate? The reason I wanted to bring this up today is here lately, I would say the last few months, a lot of clients and prospective clients, Troy, just asking, hey, what do you think about real estate? Because aren't there some really good deals right now? So I thought, you know what? It's a great subject to go ahead and broach on the radio, on one of our programs. So let's begin by saying that we can't answer that with a yes or a no. Real estate is a different asset class, and if you've been listening for a few weeks, I've been identifying and defining what asset classes are, and it certainly is an asset class.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say there are some prerequisites before you consider investing in real estate, and I think I need to define what investing here means when it comes to real estate. Your primary residence, is it an investment? I would say no. Currently, it is not. Right. Currently, it is an expense. Currently, it is an outflow of cash. Not only your payment, and I know wherever you live, you have to have a payment, rent or buy. But then you have your insurance and your taxes and your upkeep and all the things that break. Whereas an investment is money placed in a vehicle with an expected return. Ask 10 homeowners here in the Antelope Valley how are they feeling about their investment, which is their primary resident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the word investment really doesn't play in yet here on your primary resident. It can if you're the type to set down roots, and we're speaking to the Antelope Valley here. So if the Antelope Valley is your home for the next 20, 30 years and your house is paid off and you retire, and then you sell it for great gobs of profit,
right?
Then maybe at that time you could say, oh, it's an investment. Now I have this great wad of cash, but you still need a place to live. So if you're going to buy a small single wide trailer and keep all the money from the sale of your house to live off of, then it's an investment. Until that time, it's not an investment. So what is investing in real estate? Well, we certainly know that investors are picking up houses like crazy. Is it a good time for you to do that? Well, currently as we speak, actually as of 2 weeks ago, the inventory of houses on the market were down to 500 houses compared to 4,500 houses just a few months ago. What does that mean? These houses are being snatched up mm-hmm. by investors. And investors have to come up with 20 or 30% down payment. And when you've got so many investors, as it seems, picking up these houses, supply is shrinking, driving up prices to the point where there's literally 20 to 30 bids on every house. So it's really hard, even for an investor, to get a house right now.
Is that the situation we're in right now?
That's where we're at right now. 20 to 30 bids per house. It's very tough to pick up one of these houses. So it's crazy. My son's trying to get a house too. Now, he is a first-time home buyer. So you think, oh, good for him. Great time to buy a house. How does he compete with 20 or 30 other bidders with 20 to 30% down payment, whereas he will use an FHA loan with only 3% down? Well, we're going to have a guest here on the program with us here in just a moment. We're going to ask him some of the tough questions to help you if you feel that that real estate can be an investment for you. But let me kind of pull back to the starting point here from a reasonable, conservative financial approach. Before I would recommend real estate as an investment beyond your own house, I would say look at these three things, or these prerequisites. One, do you have the stomach for what is involved in owning a second property, being the landlord, getting the calls and fixing this and fixing that? All of the footwork that is involved. Footwork meaning you have to go see the house, and you got to go here, and you got to go there, and all the paperwork and applying and the credit, and then finding a renter. Is it a good renter? You got to do the credit check, and you're going to be in and out of renters perhaps. So, number one, do you have that kind of stomach? This is not the buy and flip environment.
Right.
You're not going to pick up a deal for 30 grand, put another 20 grand into it, and flip it for $100,000. Not yet. This is not the time. So, first, do you have the stomach? Secondly, do you have the cash reserve, the cushion, that beyond the down payment, the inevitable down payment, you have a cushion? Because these houses that are available, Troy, as you may be familiar with, a lot of them are go-backs. I call them go-backs. You know, bank repos, foreclosures,
right,
and such. They're going to need some TLC, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are. If you are actually the one buying it from the bank or from the person losing their home, you know, you've got some light fixtures to replace. You've got some paint. You've got some things to keep it up to code. So you're going to need to have money to make that thing livable.
I can think of some pictures I've seen recently. Mutual friend of ours, Dave Kramer, owns Inspector Ketchett, home inspector. Seen some of the pictures of some of the home inspections he's done on these repos. Unbelievable. Unbelievable bad, where there were water leaks that went uncaught or just unattended to, and entire rooms. I mean, it looked like something from Hurricane Katrina. I'm from New Orleans, so I've seen those houses. I've been back 3 times since the storm. And just, you wouldn't believe, doors warped from the mold.
And that's here in the Antelope Valley?
Here in the Antelope Valley. Mm-hmm. So there are some houses out there that once you buy them, talk to somebody that just picked up, I think, 2 or 3 houses. One of them was in great condition, except they stole the AC and they stole the forced air. House is only 2 years old. They stole the heater furnace from out of the attic. Just amazing what people are taking with them. And then another one's just completely trashed. We have another friend that just bought one I can think of that had plenty of holes to be patched up in the walls. I guess people just kicked. I don't know. To me, it goes beyond what I can understand of why you're going to trash the house like that on your way out. But to drive your point home, I've seen plenty of real representation of what you're talking about, of make sure you know what you're getting into before you start bidding on these houses.
Absolutely. So, one, do you have the stomach to be a landlord? Two, do you have the cash reserves, down payment, repairs? Also, the cash reserves to take care of all of your primary mortgage payments and your new investment property mortgage payment for inevitably when your renter does not make a payment or comes to you with a sob story and it touches your heart and you say, okay, but you still have payments to make. So do you have that kind of cash reserve? Lastly, do you have the time? I would say as an investment, easily 10 years to hold on to this baby, to allow for a full cycle to get prices to at least a decent place where you can profit from whatever price you happen to be getting right now. And the train agrees with me.
Say that? And we should have played that off as a special effect.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have the special effects button. So, folks, you need time. And then some cautions. Compared to other asset classes, if you needed money, you could sell your stocks. You could cash your CDs. You could take money out of the bank. Could you get $10,000 out of your house right now? No. No.
Well, unless you've been holding on to it for 30 years. I mean,
and even there, it's tough. You still have to borrow that money to get it back. So you have an illiquid asset. Again, not talking you out of it, not discouraging you, saying it can certainly be a part of your portfolio with the preparation of these things we're talking about right now. Understand, not liquid. I do not recommend you using the bulk of your liquid assets just to get into an investment property and not having the wherewithal to manage that or if money needs come up. Now, in just a moment, we are going to get a friend of mine on to answer some tough questions and hopefully to be a guide to you if you indeed are going to go out and look.
It amazes me at how many people are in the market without a plan, randomly plodding along, hoping that everything will come out okay in the end. I'm Tim Rosen, registered investment advisor at Financial Compass Investment Services. At Financial Compass, we take a more accurate approach to saving for retirement and investing. Give our offices a call now at 273-3400 and request a complimentary found money report. Our found money report will reveal where you are possibly paying too much in taxes and having too much of your portfolio at risk. If you'd like less stress, less losses in the market, and more financial peace of mind, call Financial Compass at 273-3400 and request your complimentary, no obligation, found money report.
And welcome back to Conservative Money Talk with our host, Tim Rosen.
Thank you, and thank you for staying tuned in to Conservative Money Talk. It is our privilege to have a guest on our program today, a seasoned realtor, and I dare say how seasoned he is, but I'm sure we can say decades of experience. That means a lot, folks. When you are looking to invest in property, you don't go with just anybody. I mean, around 2002, 2003, you had everybody jumping in. Oh, I want to do real estate on the side in my part-time. Would you have a heart surgeon who just wanted to get in to do it on the weekends? I don't think so. Would you have someone fix the electrical in your house that just wants to do it on the weekends? This man knows his stuff, and he is Bruce B. Hailstone, the voice of real estate. Are you there, Bruce?
I am, Tim.
Hey!
Hello, and how are you today?
Great. Thanks for being on our show today.
Hey, I appreciate the invitation.
I know. You know, you should be out there riding your Harley. Nice, beautiful Saturday. You probably will after this show.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. We do quite a bit of that these days. The weather's been fine for such things.
Just fine. Look, we're talking about real estate today and looking at real estate as an investment. Obviously not for everyone. And in the top of the hour, Bruce, we've kind of prepped our listeners on if real estate investment is right for you. Here are some things to get ready to have real estate as an investment. But want to have you on the show here today to ask a couple of tough questions. I think that'll help our listeners a lot in ways that I cannot. And my first question for you is, who's getting all the houses right now? Inventory is shrinking. You know, we hear that there are investors, a lot of first-time home buyers. Who are the ones that are, you know, getting the bids and getting all the houses right now?
Well, that's kind of ironic because, you know, the housing market, and we in the industry love to sell to owner-occupied. It really does wonderful things for neighborhoods as far as maintaining values. Typically, a non-owner occupant, a rental home, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have pride of ownership, so the homes in those neighborhoods don't tend to stay quite as polished, quite as beautiful. Who is actually buying them? The irony is largely investors, although we have plenty of first-time home buyers and people who want to be buyers in this economy.
I see
that. But they come to the table with 3.5% down payment.
Right.
And oftentimes need some assistance with closing costs. And unfortunately, because of those closing costs and the minimum down on a typical FHA-type purchase, they're not the ones winning the bids.
Mm. Is that because the money talks?
A stronger buyer-borrower, which is typically an investor with 20% or better down payment.
Okay. I was thinking that was the case, and because I'm hearing of 20 and 30 bids per house, and I know we're down to about 500 houses or so far in the Antelope Valley compared to over 4,000 a few months ago, so investors are picking them up. Now, since I'm talking to prospective investors, people thinking about, is now a good time to pick up an investment property? What should our listeners or those who are thinking about investing in real estate, a second property, what should they do right now to prepare to get ready to, you know, place a bid and with the credit and down payment? Kind of talk a moment about that. Someone thinks, hey, that's a good idea. What do I need to do?
It is a really good idea, but come into it fully prepared.
Yep.
Too many people, Tim, take and convert their primary residence, their single-family residence, into a rental. Not a good idea, because bottom line is you've got emotional attachment to that property. And believe you me, there's a lot of really good tenants out there, but what's going to happen when that tenant doesn't water the lawn or take as good a care of your gardens
right.
as you used to? It becomes an emotional turmoil event, and now you've got friction going on between you and a tenant.
So you're talking about taking your primary residence and turning that into a rental while you go buy a lower-priced house for
that's
yourself
right.
or something.
And a lot of folks, that's their first experience with a rental, and I don't recommend it.
I'm going to back you up on that.
Attachment to it. You raise your kids in that household.
Take care of your primary residence.
You know, what happens when the tenant causes some damage or something to something that you had a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into?
Okay.
It becomes like a personal affront.
So now we're going to look at a secondary property as the investment property. We're going to keep our primary. So what do our listeners that are interested in buying an investment property, what are they looking at as far as cash, credit, and how do they find the deals?
That's it. Typically, typically today as an investor, you're going to need to come to the table with a minimum 20 to 25% down payment. Don't come into it with that being your last dime.
Yes.
Even if you're a handyman kind of person and you're going to go in and do all your own repairs and the like, come into it with plenty of cash reserves. Because in today's market, because there are as many investors in the marketplace as there are acquiring rentals, you want to make sure that you can carry your rental for several months without income.
Yes.
Because one of the biggest problems a typical first-time investor gets into is they come in undercapitalized, they have a tenant that moves in, pays the first few months' rent, all of a sudden husband and wife tenants are in divorce, one party stays in the house, can't afford to make the whole payment. Now suddenly something that you thought was going to be a break-even cash flow suddenly has significant negative cash flow. Now the cost, the time, the energy it takes to change tenants doesn't happen overnight. So you got to be able to carry that property through the rough times. And if you're undercapitalized, that's no way to be an investor.
You need to be ready financially with plenty of cash reserves. I mentioned earlier that one needs to have the stomach to be a landlord because this is not a buy and flip environment yet. Now, appreciate that. Last question is, how do they go about finding the deals? I mean, you know, if we don't want to run around and see every house that everybody else is looking at that already has 20 or 30 bids, how, if it's possible, do you find the deals? Do you get bank lists? Do you go to the court, pull up court records? What do we do?
There's a number of sources, but be really careful because a bunch of the sources out there today are crooks.
Absolute what do you mean?
Crooks. And be careful because oftentimes, if you have to buy into a situation, they want $150 for you to buy into their website, have a code access.
Right.
That's a red flag, folks.
Okay.
That's a red
flag.
Those things typically are not real. They end up beginning debiting your debit card because you gave them and they want to set it up on an automatic debit. I ran into something just recent where somebody had done that and it cost them $150 to join, and now they can't get the thing to stop. They've contacted Better Business Bureau, tried to get out of it, and lo and behold, some of these guys are crooks. The best thing you can possibly do is find yourself a good, trustworthy local realtor. And I say local realtor because you want somebody that has access to the local multiple listing service system and can take and search the local active inventory and actually set you up on what we call a push-pull system.
Tell us about the push-pull.
Push-pull is I input your criteria that you're looking for, the area, the size of home, the number of bedrooms and baths minimum, the kind of criteria, maybe it's the age built and those kinds of things, within the price range you're looking for. Once I've done that initial search, I can say, okay, computer, don't stop searching. Matter of fact, if you find anything that meets this particular client's criteria, computer, automatically send it to the client by email and automatically send it back to me, their broker, their real estate agent, so that I can review that. Then I, as soon as I see that and hear that my client's interested in it, they got first shot, meaning that input occurred right this minute, and 10 minutes later, it's in your email box.
Well, let me understand
this. Brand new project.
Because it's computerized, this push-pull thing, and you then will also put in the bid on behalf of your investor.
Exactly.
You don't have to find them on a Saturday.
Is when we see that and we hear that you're interested in that product, maybe you've driven by, looked at it, like the neighborhood, like what the details were on what you've seen in the MLS. You then call your agent and say, listen, I got to see the inside of this one. It looks like exactly what I was looking for.
Okay.
But even then, be prepared because a lot of these REOs, real estate owned by banks, are playing games with us.
Okay. And that's spilling over into other areas, too, such as attorneys soliciting you. $2,500, I will work out your mortgage for you.
Don't be careful.
When you are being solicited, watch out, folks.
That's
the
it.
Same thing with these lists. Hey, we've got a magical list. Send us this money. No, you don't do that. Bruce B. Hailstone, the voice of real estate, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us here on a Saturday morning.
You're very welcome. There are no magical lists.
Your
real estate professional, local realtor, has access to the real information that is truly is for sale.
It's amazing
how many of these lists are not real, using old information, stuff that has been on the market for sale in the past.
And the best phone number for our listeners to get a hold of you?
Oh, if somebody wanted to call us direct, they're welcome to call us at the office at 661-948-1902. That's the year before the Wright brothers flew.
Nice. 948-1902. Bruce B. Hailstone, the voice of real estate. Thank you, my friend. Have a great motorcycle ride today.
All right, and good luck to all your listeners in their real estate investing.
Very good. Thank you. Have a good day, my friend.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Folks, we'll be right back after this.
I'm Tim Rosen, host of Conservative Money Talk. Financial peace of mind can be a reality even during these challenging times. Listen to Conservative Money Talk and learn practical money solutions that you can apply to your financial picture. Reduce losses, reduce taxes, increase savings, and increase peace of mind. Visit us on the web at timrosen.com. Conservative Money Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m.
And welcome back once again to Conservative Money Talk. We're a radio production of Financial Compass Investment Services, and here is our host, Tim Rosen.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conservative Money Talk. We want to give you several ways where you can keep in touch with all of our wonderful tidbits and conservative money suggestions. Here's ways that you can follow Financial Compass and Conservative Money Talk. You've got Twitter.
You've got Twitter.
I've got Twitter. If you have Twitter, that's www.twitter.com. Financial Compass, drop one S. So Financial Compass with one S. Generally, two or three times a day, I'll put a little shout out there of something that makes financial sense just today. I put a little, what do you call those things, Troy?
Tweets.
Help me out here. That tweet. Oh, my goodness. I'm learning a new vocabulary. And one of the things I just tossed out there is this. Our beliefs dictate our actions. Our actions follow our beliefs. So what do you believe about a credit card? Now, that's deep. I mean, it was only like 80 letters.
Yeah, and you're stuck, just a background for those who aren't familiar with it. The reason he says it's only like 80 letters, you're limited to 140 characters per tweet. So you're never going to get a big paragraph on this thing. It's little digestible.
You got to put like little one-liners. So I'm trying to share wisdom one line at a time. If our actions follow our beliefs, what do you believe about having a savings? It's one of those things. It's a rhetorical question. It's like, what do I believe about savings? I believe savings is unexciting. I don't like to do it. I've never been good at it. So therefore, that's your belief and your actions will follow. You will not have savings. Ask the same thing about your credit cards. What do you believe about credit cards? I believe it's a way to get what I want at Costco. Then that's what's going to happen. You're going to go to the mall and you're going to charge it and you're going to reap all the negative consequences. So that's, you can follow us on Twitter. More importantly, you can go to www.timrosen.tv. Not .com, just TV. No. We're actively putting videos on there regularly. When I say video, it's not like one of those things you click and you got to wait an hour for it to upload while you go pop some popcorn and come back. It's play on demand, boom, ready to go, 2 to 7 minute vignettes of different subjects that are very helpful to you. More recently, the economy, and also more recently, are you gambling or are you investing? So please check us out at timrosen.tv. Well, it was nice having called in guest today. I think this is one of the first times we've done that. We've had callers call in, listeners call in, but to have a guest, and I appreciate his time. And the reason for doing that, folks, is any kind of investment decision, especially when it has to do with property, you don't want to get caught up in the euphoria and the excitement. Hey, you know, we can be landlords. Just really think it all out, get it all on the table. So both Bruce and I were on the same table as far as, hey, you better be pretty heavily weighted in the cash side to take on a second property as an investment, not only for the down payment, but for the inevitable costs and repairs and taxes and insurance and upfront this and that, and then ongoing. And that should be like 10 years. So I don't want to scare someone out of doing that. But I also don't want you jumping prematurely because you think that it's now or never. Now's the time. Let's jump in. Everyone's doing it. Great time to own a home. Yeah, but at the same time, lending is really tightening up as well.
And it's always that what if. What if you get stuck without renters? How many months can you go without having renters in there and still
not so
be
much
able
of an investment now, is it? Is it
more liability?
Of a, more of an expense. So for some people, that it may be a time to go ahead and take advantage of that. But not everyone is built or has the tenacity or the mindset to be a landlord.
Okay, so what about people that want to be involved in real estate but don't want to buy personally their own real estate? Are there other options?
There are other options. Glad you asked, Troy. Because buying an investment property is a physical, tangible asset. You drive to the street. You see it. You have to care for the physical appearance of it and replace windows and paint, and it's physical real estate as well. For those who perhaps do not want a second home and an investment property, but maybe has $10,000, $15,000 that they would at least like to invest in real estate without owning another home, that can be accomplished through the purchase or the investment of real estate investment trusts, also known as REITs. REIT, and I'm just covering the subject, folks. I'm not saying it is a recommendation. Let me just define it for you. That's what we do here on the show. We take what's out there as far as the news and talk and mumbo jumbo and all the things being thrown at you. Hey, here's the best thing since sliced bread. Here's gold. Everybody needs gold. And just, hey, we're just clearing the fog of investing, helping you understand it so you can make the decisions that's right for you. So you hear about a real estate investment trust. What is it? Similar to a fund family, you've got a group of investors who register their group, their REIT company, and they will go out and with investors' money, some of their own, they will go out and buy multiple properties, and they'll mix it up. They'll have some residential. Maybe they'll have some Quiznos. Maybe they'll have some office buildings. And so as you invest your dollars, you're actually buying shares of the whole thing. Some shares. So your $10,000 didn't necessarily go to that Quiznos, but is a small portion of the big picture of all the money spread out. So hopefully I diversified in real estate, some residential, some business, some retail, and you will have the ebbs and flows. But I guess the idea is to have less volatility. One house is going to go up and down and fluctuate more so than, you know, 39 different properties.
So I guess one way to look at it, like you said, you mentioned it, but think of a mutual fund. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Think of a mutual fund, but strictly with real estate property. So there's a wide
correct
diversification.
Right.
Not all in one area. So
right,
if like in Flint, Michigan, probably not a good place to buy property.
Nor
right
Detroit,
now.
Right.
They're bulldozing houses.
Right.
So this is diverse. And explain, are there international types? Like with mutual funds, you can have an international fund. How is there diversification? How are there different REITs?
Well, you really have a little bit of everything under the sun. The thing to caution here is many, if not most, REITs, the Real Estate Investment Trust, are not just readily available to go online, log into your TD Ameritrade and say, okay, I want to buy, you know, $5,000 worth of this. They're generally limited liability corporations. Mm. They're private, sometimes purchased through a broker who, by the way, gets quite a commission to raise capital for these. So the downside is you don't have any control of your money once it's in. You just can't say, oh, hey, fellas, hey, guys, you know that $10,000 I invested like last month? Yeah, something came up and I need $3,000 in the back. No, it's in. And what happens with a REIT is they also pay a rate of return, sometimes biannually, quarterly. The board of directors declare that, so that's attractive, the return that they give you. However, your principal is committed to a number of years, and that's normally in the plans and the papers that you sign. So just to make it simple, you're buying in, to a group of real estate holdings with a group of investors whose area of expertise, supposedly, then, is real estate investing. And it's not a get-in and get-out thing. Just like regular physical real estate, you want to be in there probably 5-10 years, and therefore you can look at it as being illiquid, not liquid. Don't go to it to try to get money out, because it's not one of those things you just go online and say, okay, I'm going to sell 100 shares of Apple and get 10 grand.
But you're going to know, I'm guessing you're going to know this up front, meaning that as you go into it, you're going to know, is it going to be a 5-year, 10-year, what the commitment is, and
yeah.
what, and if there is an emergency and you really do need your money out, then you'll know what the penalty, I'm guessing, is?
Well, there's no penalty. You just can't get it.
Okay.
You
so
can appeal to the board of directors, who will take a look at the money situation and vote on whether you get money or not.
So this is for somebody that's looking for a longer-term investment.
It's illiquid. So, okay. Again, we're just answering questions here about, is real estate, you know, can I invest in real estate? How do I invest in real estate? And as an investor coach, if you're my client, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about diversification. We're going to talk about your values, your fears, your tolerances, and what is right for you. How do you feel about this, and how do you feel about that? Knowing that that type of investment, any type of real estate, is illiquid. You just can't get a hold of it when you want to. And for that money, folks, that you just want to just set aside, forget about it, and let it do its thing, great. But again, buyer beware. There are many that are not listed. They're unregistered investments. And that's the stuff that, you know, that whole Madoff thing is all made up of. How do I know where my money is? Now, there's some reputable ones out there, too. Wells REIT, for instance. Very well known. It's private, so you can only get in through a broker. But again, your investment is tied up for a period of time. This has been and continues to be the Investing in Real Estate show. This episode of Conservative Money Talk, just really addressing the questions that we get in the office about real estate. And, you know, is this a good time? Is this a bad time? Everything is relative. It's just like the market. I'm against market timing. I don't believe it works. And there's many great minds in academia and Nobel Prize winners that agree with me. Actually, I'm the one that agrees with them. You can't market time. So why do we try to do it with the real estate market? We don't know when the absolute bottom is going to be. We just know that it's definitely down now relative to 2-3 years ago.
I was going to play devil's advocate and say, well, we can't prove that it's the best time. It's certainly a good time.
It was the best
money.
Of times. It was the worst of times.
I think we've quoted that before.
Have we?
Probably.
It's an easy one to fall back on.
But while it may not be the absolute best time, we don't know if we've hit bottom. You said earlier that people are buying up these houses, mostly investors, so it's probably not a bad time to look at real estate.
Absolutely. I mean, again, prices are lower relative to a few years ago, so there are certainly, price-wise, they're down. However, it's just the process. Price and process. Okay, so prices may be favorable, but with this lower supply, Troy, it has actually driven the competition up, whereas a month ago, my son put in a bid, you know, for a house, and it was like around 60 grand. Well, now, those same type of houses are selling for $99,000. That's quite a jump, and it's because of the whole supply and demand. At break, you were sharing with me the news that you just heard about a 90-day stay or moratorium.
Right, there's a 90-day moratorium on foreclosures in California. I think it started last week before.
Wow, so someone losing their home and have been probably can go 2 years.
they're trying to force the companies to work as much as they can with the people. But, I mean, the banks still have a lot of these foreclosures sitting on the books that they haven't declared yet. So there's going to be more inventory coming open as the banks continue to disclose and write off these houses.
So the message there is, don't be of the mindset that it's now or never, I'm going to miss the opportunities. There are going to be plenty of opportunities. We've not seen the scratch of the surface of the foreclosures and lost homes hitting the market.
And as a background, because one of the most common questions that I see posted is, well, if it's better for somebody to own a house, it's more stable, and if the bank's going to have to sell it for half price anyway, then why in the world doesn't the bank just negotiate the loan principal down to half the amount and keep the person in the house? What you have to realize is there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that happened with the banks. They make
any of that
gross profits in other areas like credit cards. We've talked about that before. And they need these houses, these foreclosures, as losses to write off. It's just like capital gains for a person, right, Tim?
Yeah.
They can use capital gains losses to write off
absolutely
earnings.
You have real capital losses.
So banks kind of play the shell game with these foreclosures and use them to write down the gross profits they make in other areas. So
which brings me back to my main focus. I think we talked on it last week, Troy, how economists and researchers at great universities say that you ought to spend more to help the economy and get us out of this recession, where I say, look after you and save more. So when we address the subject of, you know, how are the banks doing it and how does it all work? It's really not up for us to understand every detail, but to look after you. If you're someone who is perhaps in a predicament and trying to keep your house or renegotiate, that's one of your main focuses right now. And try to go through HUD. Call your local HUD representative and see if you do qualify for some type of loan remodification, refinance, or something similar to that. Or it may be time to walk away, hit the reset button, be a renter. Because guess what? I strongly believe, Troy, that 2 or 3 years from now, we'll look back at this wave, at this time, 2009, when the majority of folks are going to buy a house again and their credit is pulled up. And the lender says, that's, wow, 180 days late, 360 days late on, against Wells Fargo. 2009, that was that big wave. We'll just forget about that. And how's your job? All right, and let's just kind of move forward. Because when it's so pandemic and nationwide and 1 out of 9 homes being lost to foreclosure, it's not one city, one county, one company that issued pink slips. It's nationwide, so there will have to be some reckoning there a couple of years from now. Because when your credit's totally destroyed by something so major as the biggest loan you have in your life, there has to be a remedy or a forgiveness. And see, the train agrees with me.
Once again, the profit of the train.
Yes. Now, my wife worked in the mortgage industry years ago, and one of the things that they'd kind of look over is medical. Because it's happened to you, Troy. You've paid your bills, but the left hand didn't tell the right hand what it's doing, and then all of a sudden, they hire this collection company, and you show proof. Look, knucklehead, we paid it. Here's the receipt, and here's the canceled check, and the thing still stays on like a thorn in your side.
Actually, I did an experiment. I submitted to Experian that I told them the story, did the claim. They just wiped it, so they did delete it off my credit because it was the collection agency's fault. Not mine and not the
How old is Savannah now? Because that's my guideline. That's, 4 years old.
Well, it was 2 years ago.
It took two years
to get a mistake that had nothing to do with me cleared off of my credit.
So in the past, it was medical that was a little easier to forgive only because of all of the errors that are so common in medical billing. Blah, blah. Easy for me to say.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, and the crossing of the communications and such like that. So there's going to be have to be something, and I'm sure we'll go back to this program in time and say, I was right. There's going to be some kind of overlooking of this, what's the word I'm thinking of, just this grotesque period of time when it comes to credit. Anytime you have a negative towards a mortgage, it's harder to go get another mortgage, just like the car industry. In the past, before this whole credit crunch, if you were late against an auto lender and now you go to trade in your car and get another car, they're going to like, you've got a hit against us. You did this against us. It's going to be hard for us to give you another loan.
I've got a good $1 word for you. This
$1.
Dispensation.
Dispensation?
This dispensation, this area of time, this amount of time, this period in history.
Mm.
So it's a one word wrap up for one period in history. But you're right. And we still don't know what the federal – we know that this administration has been very, very hands-on with trying to work behind the scenes and make sure things are going to be as smooth as possible come future. We don't know if there's going to be some kind of mortgage foreclosure forgiveness. Yeah.
So when you look at all these millions of folks that have been affected by this, if they were not able to borrow and to get a home loan in the future, what then is the impact of our economy? If people aren't getting loans, banks aren't lending, people aren't borrowing, interest isn't being paid, what does that do to our economy? So there has to be some kind of rectification. I have to be very careful on that.
That's a word you don't want to mess up.
And I don't know the number. I don't know if you do, but it's pointless to try to measure it right now. But millions and millions of families whose credit has been marred.
True.
And they'll have to have a way to get a home again. Now, before this whole credit crunch, it used to be standard, you had a foreclosure, you wait 2 years, then you get a house again. Maybe it's going to be something like that.
Yeah. And let's give the disclaimer of we're not saying that everybody should walk away from their houses just because.
But, I just did a white nerdy thing.
That's okay.
Monty
Python. We'll forgive you. But it is, the situation is what it is. And realistically, if you bought too much house, you don't want to kill yourself and keep running up the credit cards just to try and keep your head above water and then have to have a foreclosure and bankruptcy 2 years down the road.
Yep.
When you could have just taken it like a man and walked away.
Five words of wisdom epitomizes the show today. It is what it is, from Troy Barlow.
I had to count those to make sure it was five.
Jarhead!
It is what it is.
We hope to have been some help to you today to kind of address the questions. Should I buy a property as an investment in addition to my primary residence? Well, depends if you have a hoard of cash, because cash is very important nowadays, mm-hmm. and the time and the patience and the intestinal fortitude to be a landlord.
Well, and it's much harder on the lender side. Like you said, lending's becoming more difficult, but it's much harder for people to buy rental property because they're going to take both mortgages without counting the rental income into consideration when they're seeing if you can afford it.
That's an aspect we have not brought up yet.
Yeah, it just popped into my head, and I didn't think we covered it this hour, and we don't have much time to dig deep into it, but they are going to look at your overall income and see, can he afford
both
payments without considering rental income.
And will that fall into the 35 to maybe 40% of your income? There you go. Wow. How do these people with 12 and 14 properties do it? It's because they have the established rental income
rentals. It'll count the established income.
It's a business.
Yeah.
There we go. So I don't know if we have helped you or hurt you or discouraged you. But, man, it's really time to be careful if you're getting the itch to pick up a property just because you think it's cool to be a landlord or to say, yeah, I've got several properties. It can be a pain. You can own non-physical real estate through real estate investment trust if that is your itch. But, again, buyer beware and be careful there. Speak with an investor coach, not a broker, not someone who has a financial interest, i.e. commission, involved. Certainly Google it. You can look at Wells, WellsReit, to check that out. Again, a lot of these real estate investment trusts are unregistered, so they're not up on the big board. They don't trade every day in and out. That's what that means. So you want Apple, you can buy Apple today and you can sell it tomorrow. You can get in, you can get out. It's a registered investment.
I just thought, one of the videos that you should probably make, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
I'm listening.
Maybe a series of videos where you're interviewing other professionals, like Bruce B. Hailstone.
Okay.
You know, give them a couple minutes to talk about these things. Maybe talk to one of the experts in the Antelope Valley on the lending process. Make it a quick 2 to 3 minute. What do you think, listeners?
Give us a shout out at the and an email. Go to timrosen.com. You can put in a comment there or contact us.
To keep things simple, can they get your email from timrosen.tv? Or do they have to
You know what?
Tim Rosen.
I don't have that up there yet. Thanks for reminding me. I'll have my tech guy.
They can find you on Facebook. The Facebook and Twitter links are both on timrosen.tv.
Yes, and you can give a suggestion there of any area that you're looking to get more information for or struggle with. Give us an idea, because every week we're making those helpful videos for you. So that's good that you mentioned that. I have another resource. It is free. It is a complimentary resource. All you have to do is go to timrosen.tv and request it. I believe you click the Invest with Tim button, and there is the Investor Awareness Guide. Folks, you want to talk about knowing fact from fiction in the investment world, what Wall Street says and promotes, even if it's to your disadvantage. You want to get this guide, and I make that available to you as a resource. It will get you thinking. It will open your eyes. It will make your jaw drop. This is the truth. These are just the facts, not opinion. And then you'll probably want to call me and talk about coaching and guiding you through this fog of investing. So the best way to request it is to click the little link there at timrosen.tv. Go to the top, hit Invest with Tim. Doesn't mean that you're investing with us. Don't worry. There's no commitment. Don't put your account numbers in there. It just says... there's about a page and a half of information about this investor guide, investor awareness guide, and click it. Put in your mailing address. We'll mail it to you. Absolutely. Or just call our office, 273-3400. We are live and we are local in Palmdale, Conservative Money Talk, an extension of Financial Compass Investment Services. I am the Abundance Money Coach, Tim Rosen, with my host, Tim Rosen. I am also schizophrenic, and so am I.
It's always good to talk about yourself in the third person. And for those listening via the World Wide Web on Newstalk1380.com, the area code is 661 if you're looking to reach the office. So it's 661-273-3400. Or, of course, you can just as easy go to the website, timrosen.com, and click the Contact Us link. Correct? And there's a little form they can fill out with any questions that they have.
Yep.
And that'll go straight to you. And
it's that easy.
I'm sure your email is... What is your email address? Just say it on the air and then they'll have
it. You can just go tim@timrosen.tv.
There we go. tim@timrosen.tv.
There you go.
We'll keep it simple. Anything else for our listeners before we wrap up for this week? Or
looking forward to next Saturday. Always looking to have some pearls of wisdom and taking what's going on in the news, bad, good, indifferent, ugly, interpreting it, breaking it down for you so you know how to benefit from it or to protect yourself or to profit from it. We promise to keep dishing it out every Saturday.
Well, folks, it's been a wonderful weekend with y'all. We look forward to speaking to you next Saturday when we'll have more helpful tidbits and our host will once again talk about himself in the third person. Until then, God bless and have a great week. Goodbye.